And Matthew chapter 1 verse 21 says, she will give birth to a son. Yep. And you are to give him the name Jesus. Because he will save his people from their sins. So my question today is, what do you want for Christmas? What do you want for Christmas? Saints, the time has come to quit wishing for what you don't have. And realize what you have been given. What are your real priorities for Christmas this year? Where would remembering and celebrating the birth of Jesus be on your list? Perhaps that question make your mind run back to a song we used to sing, Deacon Booker. All I want for Christmas is my two front teeth. My two front teeth. And then I could wish you Merry Christmas. Well, for some people, the spirit of Christmas is embodied in the shopping, trolling the shops and the internet, trying to find the right gift for the right person. Yeah. Fighting through crowds of crazed shoppers, excited kids and determined mothers and fed up dads. Dashing from shop to shop. Joining endless queues to pay for the things that will probably be returned unwanted and probably 10 times cheaper in the post-Christmas sales. So what do you want for Christmas? What does Christmas really mean to you? Well, at the beginning of John chapter 6, Jesus was on the far side of the Sea of Galilee. And folk were bringing sick people to him left and right. And folk were being healed. And the scripture tells us a great crowd of people followed him because of all of the miracles that Jesus was doing. Folk were sending Jesus friends, requests. And becoming friends and followers of Jesus. Come on, somebody. Yeah. On their own version of Facebook. Yeah. Word had gotten out so fast that even a greater crowd came to Jesus on a mountainside. After he left the place of doing miracles. Yeah. So here we see Jesus does another miracle. He takes 5 loaves of bread, 2 fish, and feeds 5,000 men, and probably 10,000 women and children. Yeah. So this was a buffet meal, so abundant and so free, that the people wanted to make Jesus king right there on the spot. Yeah. The Bible says Jesus withdrew again up the mountain to slip away from them. But then it says later that evening, the disciples head across the Sea of Galilee to get to Capernaum. And they run into a midnight storm that threatens to sink the boat. So Jesus ends up walking on the water and calming the raging sea. But once he got in the boat went so fast that he immediately reached the shore where they were headed. So the word got out again about free bread.
That's right. Got out again.
So a new group of people landed where Jesus had fed the 5,000 men. But when they saw Jesus had left, they headed for Capernaum. And they were shocked to find Jesus was there because they knew he had not gotten in the one boat that had been at the feeding of the crowd. So Jesus was at the top of his game in the eyes of the people. So if it were the NBA All-Star game, Jesus would have been named captain of the team or the MVP after it was all over. Nobody was more popular in the country than was Jesus.
That's right.
Saints, in less than 2 years, he had a congregation of some 20,000 people. And if the goal of the church is to get as many people in the doors as possible, then Jesus was on his way.
Yeah.
But, somebody say but. Yeah. Jesus did not come to get as many people on his friends list as he could. Yeah. He didn't come to see how many likes and thumbs up that he could get. He wasn't even keeping attendance records.
Yeah.
Jesus came to get folk to follow after him so that he could lead them to God. Yes, he came to save us from our sins. He didn't come to give us a Santa Claus list. Come on, somebody. He came to save our souls and keep us from a burning hell. So as a church, we want to grow in numbers. We want to see more people added. We want to do those things that are going to attract people to our church. But what if Jesus' will and our desires are not the same?
Yes.
What if God is calling us to a Gideon moment? In which God has decided we got too many people for God to do a fresh work.
Yes.
A fresh work in the midst. What if he's trying to birth a new movement in our church?
Ahead,
somebody say, birthday, Jesus, birthday. See, what if he's trying to do a new thing in our ministries? What if he's tired of our going back out the same way we came in? He's not waiting for a mega church. Are you with me, church? You see, Gideon was a leader with 32,000 people going up against an army of 135,000. And God told Gideon he had too many men for God to be with them. What, Jesus? See, the army would claim credit for the victory. Let everybody go home who are scared.
That's right.
The Bible said 22,000 men left. And unfollowed Gideon. 10,000 were left, Deacon Humphrey. And God said, you still have too many. So this time I'm going to separate them from you. So God cut the group down, and Gideon sent home 9,700 men with only 300 men left. Are you with me, church? It was now 300 versus 135,000. So how many of us does God actually need to bring about a real revival? I'm talking about a show enough revival that'll stretch all out into the streets and down the highways on 401. Come on, somebody. How many know that he doesn't need a whole lot of folk to send a revival? How small do we need to get as a church in order for us to trust God for our future? Where is Jesus on our want list? And whereas as leaders, we seek church enlargement. But God has a plan for church in small men.
That's right, preacher. Go ahead, preacher.
You see, that huge congregation that Jesus had at the beginning of chapter 6 is about to grow into a small group of folk.
That's right.
The ones who are not willing to pay the cost.
That's right.
They got up and eased out.
That's right.
But the one who was willing to follow him, they stayed with him. So instead of Jesus opening his service with brothers and sisters, I'm glad you all came all the way that you did to hear me today. He said, probably, but like, look, I know the real reason you showed up for service. What do the miracles did that mean to you? You showed up because you ate and you got full. And now you want some more free food. Come on, somebody. So stop coming to me. Just grab what you want to satisfy a desire. Come to me and discover what God really wants to do in your life for eternal purposes. What do you really want? Can I ask you that? What do you really want, New Providence? Why did we come to church today? Why are we live streaming and on Facebook and YouTube or telephone? Do we really want Jesus? Do we really want Jesus to point something in our lives that should be changed for God's purpose to be at work in our lives? Could we be honest and say, God, I came to church today because what?
All right, preacher.
The people asked Jesus, look, if you think we're here for the wrong reason, then tell us what we must do to do the work God requires. Now we're going to find out what Jesus is thinking from the responses. And let me just give it to you, and then I'll take my seat. Jesus tell them the first thing you must do is believe in the one who God sent.
Yeah, that's the first thing.
See, this is a stumbling block for some of us. If you believe God has sent Jesus, then you have to believe that what Jesus says is true.
That's right.
If Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me, He either is or not. That means that all other religions that reject Jesus as the Son of God may make you a better person, but they will not put you in a right standing with God. Somebody say amen. Amen. See, basically, you have a choice. There is only one God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is only one God. You have a choice between grace and works. Only one saves your sins are forgiven. because they've already been paid by Jesus. And yet our society is afraid of being called intolerant because we claim to have the truth about God. We're supposed to say all religions are equal when the very nature of them teach that it can't be right.
That's right.
All religions are not equal. Come on, somebody. If you serve Bebe, that's not my religion. If you serve Muhammad, that's not my religion. But if you serve the risen Savior, that's my religion. And then he says, the second thing you must do is to stop demanding a sign. We always want to come to church looking for a sign. Stop demanding that God do what you insist on God doing before you will believe. The people are saying, look, Moses gave us bread from heaven. If you want us to believe in you, you got to keep on giving us some free bread.
Yeah.
If you can give in to our desires, then we will believe that you are who you say you are. We always want a trade-off, don't we? But church, what do you want for Christmas? What's your demand that God must do before you consider Jesus?
All right.
A healing?
All right.
Money?
Right.
A new spouse?
All right.
A new job?
All right.
What's your demand?
All right.
A new title? A new position?
All right.
What will it be? Will it be Jesus?
All right.
Or will it be Barabbas? Come on, somebody. God is God. He's not obligated to prove himself to us.
Yes.
Somebody say, that's right, that's right. God says that he has left enough proof in creation for everybody to know that there is a God. Come on, somebody. Are you with me, church? And I mean, just the mere complexity of your body shows design and purpose of a creator.
Yes, indeed.
So what do?
Indeed.
We suspend our postings from Jesus for 30 days.
Yeah.
Y'all know I'm right.
Yeah.
We still want some contact,
but
we want a 30-day break from Jesus.
Right.
We want to leave our absence. We just drop out of the church, Reverend Fred, or go missing in action for a while and then fill that time with other things. What do you really want from Christmas? Well, the number third thing, Jesus tells him that, stop thinking you know everything there is about me.
Yep, that's
right. Am I right, everybody?
Right,
you really think you know me?
That's right. Go ahead, preacher.
He said, I have come down from heaven.
Yes.
And the folk were saying, you got to be kidding.
Well,
we know your mom and your daddy. Are you with me, church?
Yeah, that's right.
That's a good word, isn't it?
Yeah.
We know your mom and your dad.
Yeah.
We know the house where you grew up.
Yeah.
Y'all didn't have nothing.
Yeah.
How on earth can you say you came down from heaven?
Yeah.
What's wrong with that man?
Right.
Have he lost his mind?
Right.
Does that sound familiar, church? When you're trying to put him in a box to your own liking.
Yeah.
Jesus says, look, you can't even come to me to follow me unless you, my father, draws you.
Well, that's right. You can't even get there.
If my father draws you, then I'll raise you up. You want to talk about bread? I am the living bread that came down from heaven. This bread is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. See, they have no idea that Jesus is talking about his fleshly body being ripped open through his death on the cross. It is the death of his flesh that brings salvation. And yeah, they had a problem with this, but Jesus goes on even further and starts talking about the need to drink his blood.
That's right.
To have eternal life. He goes back to saying, unless you drink my blood and eat my flesh, you cannot have eternal life.
Yeah.
They have no idea of Jesus' side being punched open, hanging on a cross. And as you can imagine, at that point, many of them knew what was wrong with Jesus. They like, this man has lost his mind. They said, this is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? Okay, Jesus, we're going to give you one more chance.
One more.
We're going to give you one more chance to prove who you say you are.
Right.
Tell us who you are.
Yeah.
Are we going to take you off our social media?
Yeah.
See, they knew they were not willing to believe in Jesus or to follow him any further.
Yeah.
So they officially unfriended him on their Facebook page so they would not get any more posts from him.
Yeah.
And they blocked him. Oh, y'all don't hear me now. They blocked him from sending more friend requests. They have been offended by Jesus for the last time. You get this? So the scripture stated, from this time many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. They quit following Jesus because he became an embarrassment to them. His teachings offended them, and they knew they would offend others. So they took him off their Christmas list. Church, you cannot be a Christian today. And then the next day, take him off your list. You cannot be a Christian today without offending somebody you come in contact with. Can I say that again? You cannot be a Christian today without offending somebody you come in contact with. So the truth of the gospel is offensive. If you say that something is sin, somebody's going to be offended.
That's right.
We can see that in the passage. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. What's the matter with having Jesus in your Christmas?
That's right.
You got up your Christmas tree. You got all those lights burning that you got to pay electricity bill next month. What's the matter with putting Jesus on your Christmas list? Is it that Jesus is out of step with the world we're living in? I think we may have led some of you astray in presenting the gospel as a one-time decision you made. See, Jesus seemed to have told folk, there's a terrible cost you will pay if you choose to follow me. I'm almost through. So sit down first and count the cost. Be honest about your willingness to pay. Too many want to follow Jesus at a discounted price. And I think we got too many folk relying on the sinner's prayer as proof of their salvation rather than on their willingness to follow Jesus, even when it means isolation. Even when it means pain. Even when folk walk away from you. Even when folk talk about you. Even when folk curse you behind your back and to your face. Are you willing to go all the way with Jesus? Come on, somebody. We want to get him off our page because we do not want to be too closely related and identify with his message. So we think we can click a button and unfollow him without him knowing that we are no longer following him. Did y'all get that? Just like he doesn't know. That's right. See, it doesn't quite work that way. Jesus always knows where our hearts are. It's our pride that tells us the word of God can be ignored in this particular section. So, but I start by telling you, what we think has never once changed what was true. We always will be in a battle for who is going to be Lord of our lives.
Always.
You're going to always be in a battle.
Always in a battle.
The devil hates Christians.
Yeah.
He hates you. If you love the Lord, he hates you.
Yeah.
So you want to know why you're going through what you're going through? Stop complaining. Stop murmuring. No. Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
It's because you have gotten close to Jesus.
Yeah.
And the devil is upset. So when folk turned away from Jesus and started leaving before the service is over, Jesus didn't even offer compromise to get them back. Y'all don't hear me. He didn't beg or plead. It's your choice. From a world's point of view, Jesus had failed miserably as a pastor. This was worse than a church split. There was no more congregation. He'd gone from 10,000 to 12. In attendance to one message. He then looked at Peter and the other 11 and said, you want to leave me too? Oh, you want to take me off your list too? You want to befriend me too? Or unfriend me? My brothers and sisters who are listening to me, I can guarantee you, by the end of this year, in 2025, Jesus is going to force you to take a stand. Hear me today. By 2025, he's going to force you to take a stand. And you're going to want to leave him. See, it may be on the extreme of you feeling that you can't take another moment of your circumstances. Or it may be because you don't want to lose something you enjoy. Most likely it would be somewhere in between. You will still wonder, why is he putting me in this place of having to decide? That's the moment you will discover if you are actually following Jesus. And just there because of something you hope to get. So Peter asked that $1 million question. Lord, if we leave you, where are we going?
That's right.
I don't know who I'm preaching to this morning, but my brothers and sisters, if you decide to unfollow Jesus, shouldn't you at least have an eternal plan for where you're headed next? I heard there are only two destinations, hell and heaven. So shouldn't you have an eternal plan? If you're going to unfollow him, shouldn't you know where you're going? Unfollowing Jesus doesn't change who Jesus is. You just stop seeing his messages. And saints, I stop by to tell somebody, don't push that button. Don't block that call. Don't touch that dial. Don't block Jesus out of your life. No matter what you're going through right now, hold on to Jesus. Keep him in your life. Keep him on your Facebook. Keep him on your Twitter and Instagram and on your friends page. Losing a lot of going through hard times doesn't mean there's nothing left. God loves you just as much on this side of your trial as he did on the other side. Jesus prays to the Father on behalf of us every day. The Holy Spirit is a comforter who will lead and guide us through all low valleys and high mountains. Be encouraged, saints. God is with us. You may think I'm not going to make it, but if God's favor is upon you, he will bless you even when it doesn't look like it. God will prosper you in such a way that even your enemy knows he's with you. Just be satisfied with whatever he gives you. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Know that your neighbor is not in vain. If the doctor gives you a bad report, God knows all about it. When the doctor says he can't, God can. God can speak a word and a tumor will disappear. God can speak a word and cancer will flee. God can speak a word and those arteries in your heart and veins will be clear. God is a healer and he's a deliverer and he's a comforter and he's a consolation. Yeah, we just need to tell the world, I got goodness on one side, mercy on the other side. Well, as I get ready to take my seat, I'll ask you again, what do you want for Christmas? But church, I must admit, there are times in our lives, it may not be the way we think they ought to be. But so what do you mean, Mary Hick? What do you mean? What if I might borrow the words from Reverend James Cleveland? I've had my share of a life's ups and downs. And God's been good to me. Can I get a witness out there? And the downs have been few. I would guess you would say that God has blessed me. But there's never been a time in my life that he didn't bring me through. If anyone could ever write my story, for whatever reason there might be, Lord, you've been there between each line of pain and glory. Because Jesus is the best thing that ever happened to me. Oh, you see it happen one Friday on a place called Golgotha, on a hill called Calvary. Jesus was hung up for our hangups. He died for your sins and mine. They sealed the grave and the devil said, we finally got him. But they didn't know who they had down there. Because early on Sunday morning, the devil came back, find the grave empty. Jesus had gotten up out of a dusty grave. He raised his hands towards heaven and told the world, I have all power in my hand. And he all right, church? Ain't God all right? Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? What do you want for Christmas?
We know that you have been blessed through the hearing of God's word on this day. We invite you to join us at New Providence Missionary Baptist Church, located at 4813 Hilltop Needmore Road, Fuquay Varina, North Carolina. For more information, you can contact our ministry at 919-552-3531 or visit our website at www.newprovidencebaptist.com. Thank you for joining us, and be blessed.